Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Hour number two of the program. It is Stokely and Zach here on a Friday in the Mile High City. Zach by on assignment. I'm Cecil Lammy sitting in. And is it going to snow today? It is March. It was like 60 and then snowing yesterday.
Last night.
Yeah.
I was on my way home last night, went to dinner down Cherry Creek. On my way home, it's coming down sideways. Like, wait, what?
I mean, you were in shorts yesterday.
Yeah, it's that's what we get here. That's why we love it.
Yeah.
Perfect today, right now, anyway. So, who knows? No one knows.
Right.
Not even the people that get paid to know.
That's true. That's right. Zach Bye on assignment. I'm sure wherever he's at on the golf course, he's having fun, right? That's all Zach. On Friday, he's going to be having fun no matter where he's at and what he's doing. I think that's his middle name.
Yeah, I think he's putting in some work right now for us. I think he's putting in some work. I don't know.
For you guys.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. We'll see, what his game's like upon his return. The Broncos, they're going to make some changes to their secondary. Maybe not much, but we talked to Mike Kliss, #9sports, yesterday, and you asked him specifically, like, hey, what are you going to do in this next wave? What's next for the Broncos? What else are they going to do? And Mike didn't hesitate. He's like, they're going to get a safety.
Yeah, that's a possibility. You know, will it be Kareem Jackson back in the fold? Will it be another guy that they bring in? Will they draft a guy? You know, so there's options there. It you know, how do they view Caden Stearns? How do they view the depth there next to Justin Simmons? Do they want to take a look at one of these young guys and give them a real opportunity to be the starter? Or they're going to go with more of a veteran presence and try to bring back a Kareem Jackson or somebody like that. It's going to be interesting to see how they view this whole safety position next to Justin Simmons.
Wouldn't it be nice if they could get like a Tony Jones of the secondary? And that's Kareem Jackson's more than that. He is more than that. And he played well last year.
He did. I think he was healthy for the most part. I don't know if he missed a game at all.
I don't believe so.
So, look, at some point, I kind of want to see Caden Stearns be the guy and see if he can do it.
Well, if he can't beat out Kareem Jackson, who's in year 15, like, yeah, I want to see Caden Stearns too. But at the end of the day, football's that meritocracy on the field. Like, hey, the job's yours. Just go take it.
Well,
you don't think
so? It's not that simple. If you bring Kareem Jackson back, you're bringing him back to start and to play.
Then Caden Stearns, you got to be better.
But he doesn't really have a chance to be better.
They're going to play football this offseason, though.
they are.
They're going to practice.
It's hard for him to overtake Kareem Jackson. Yeah, you know, I look at it as like, hey, you just have to trust in Caden Stearns to go out there and do the job. So you have to give him that opportunity right away. It's not like, hey, he's going to be competing with Kareem Jackson for the job. It's a tough situation if you bring Kareem Jackson back for Caden Stearns to overtake him and to win the job. It's all how they view him. All how they view him. If they view him and they want to see him, then you can't bring in a Kareem Jackson or a veteran type of player. You just give it to him. And give him a chance.
Is football really the sport where you just give stuff to guys?
A lot. It happens a lot. Yes,
it is.
It happens a lot. Your draft position, your contract.
Well, yeah.
And sometimes in this situation, they are intrigued by him. They like his potential. And then they say, okay, you're going to be our starter. Let's go. I mean, it happens all the time. And now either you get it done or you don't get it done. Right? But that type of stuff happens all the time.
If Caden Stearns is on the field as a starter, I'm picking on him. If I'm an opposing offensive coordinator and I look out there and I go, okay, the defensive line's really strong, can't do anything against the defensive line. Linebackers are a little better than, you know, even I would give them credit for, Josie Jewell, Alex Singleton. I'd attack them with a tight end. But I'm not going after Simmons. I'm not going after Sertan. Not really going after Kaywan Williams. So I would be targeting. You are putting a target essentially on Caden Stearns' back. If you're thrusting him out there as a starter and he's not ready.
Well, if he's not ready, then he doesn't play. Then he gets benched.
But you didn't bring back Kareem Jackson, who are you going to? P.J. Locke?
There's other safeties out there that you can bring back, you know, that will be available. But, yeah, that's the risk that you take. You know, there's always risk that you take in these types of situations. I'm not sure. You know, I'm just not sure on how they view Caden Stearns. That's what it really boils down to. And whether he gets this opportunity or not, we'll see. At some point, you know, you're like, okay, either you give him the opportunity or what are we doing here? And then we need to, you know, start looking for other safeties. I mean, right. Kareem Jackson's not going to be, you know, coming back year after year on these one-year deals, right? So right. I just think it's time to give Caden Stearns a real shot. And if not, and if they don't view him that way as a potential starter, then you'll see them make a move for another safety.
What about injuries? We talked a lot about the KJ Hamler breaking news yesterday with his partially torn pec, out 4 to 6 months, already had surgery. Caden Stearns isn't quite like that, but I remember Caden Stearns at Texas. Freshman, he was great. Sophomore, junior, senior, all hurt.
Yeah.
Now in the pros, he's been a little bit banged up. So, like, I agree with you. Caden Stearns, you know, it's time to start doing it. It's time to get it done. But that injury bug is still there with this kid. If you're the Broncos, can you really rely on that? Hey, we didn't bring back Kareem. He signed with somewhere else for nothing because you really wanted to give Stearns a shot, but Stearns also is injury prone.
That factors into everything, obviously. Your health, your availability, all those things come into play when you're looking at, you know, potentially being a starter for the first time. And that's part of it. You gotta be able to stay healthy. And we'll see. Ultimately, you know, we'll see what direction they head here with the Kareem Jackson. Do they bring him back on the one-year deal? Or are they going to just roll with Caden Stearns or someone else? You know, there's other veterans out there. I don't have a list in front of me, like safety-wise.
I'm looking at some safeties.
There's other guys that are available that they also could bring in. If they don't think like Stearns or P.J. Locke, the guys that we have right now are the answer for the position next to Justin Simmons.
Yeah, and the easy connection that you look at is you go, okay, Vance Joseph just came from Arizona. Is there an Arizona player available? You try to make these connections, any sort of Saints connection, right? You try to kind of look and see what's going on there and to see what these teams could do. So there's not a lot. Honestly, I'm looking at a list right now outside of Kareem Jackson. So you'd have to say, okay, maybe you're starting to consider the draft then and going younger at the position. But I think you in the draft, you're considering corner. In addition to rolling into maybe grabbing a safety, safety class is never really that good. I don't know why. Safety's coming into the league never really. It's not like a wow class. It's always kind of okay.
And we got to remember where we drafted Justin Simmons.
Third round.
Right. So, you know, we got 2 third-round picks. Is that in play for you? Is there a third-round safety that you – I mean, you just said that there's not a – it's not a great safety class.
Yeah, it's an okay safety class. It kind of always is. I've been mainly focusing on corner for the Broncos there. But you look at Jartavius Martin from Illinois – he's a possibility as a player, a physical slot kind of safety type of player. So there's a few names I could toss out there for you. But for me, I've been mainly looking at edge and corner and tight end, all these other positions other than safety, which you could solve if you just brought Kareem Jackson back.
I think you need to start looking at safeties.
Okay.
I think that's in play here also.
Okay.
With what they have
in the
draft.
You're giving me homework? It's Friday, baby.
Yeah. Get back to me. Get back to me on tomorrow. You got 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Not even Monday.
Wow.
Need it done tonight.
There goes my Friday.
Yeah. No, I think safety's in play. Certainly. Okay. Safety's in play here. I think when you look at Justin Simmons and his contract, you know, he's getting older. How much longer is he going to be playing at a very high level? And then now we, you know, Kareem Jackson, he's obviously a free agent again.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not getting any younger. So, but look, I think safety's definitely in play.
Safety's definitely in play for the Denver Broncos and kind of reworking the secondary because, again, the pass rush We don't yet know what they're actually going to get. One, we don't know if Randy Gregory's going to be healthy. I don't think he is. Two, we don't know what Baron Browning's going to do. So, like, does Baron Browning take that next step where he's a Shaq Barrett instead of Malik Reed? Because right now he's Malik Reed. And that's fine, but you kind of need him to be more than that. You need him to be on that Shaq Barrett type of track. And I don't know if we can truly answer that with Baron Browning, a player that both you and I really like.
Yeah, it's a big year for Baron Browning. Obviously, he's going to get an opportunity. He's got to be able to stay healthy. Durability is a question. And he's got to go out there and do it. But he's got a great opportunity this year to do it and show that he can be that edge rusher that you're looking for. He has all the talent. You know, the one question is his durability, his health, but also on top of that is his size. He's not the biggest guy. Can he hold the edge in the running game?
Right.
Right? So he's not the biggest guy. So that's a concern there with Baron Browning. But Mike said he's out there with Hell's Trainer in San Francisco running those hills and, you know, he's going to have big quads like Von did when he came back from,
okay,
you know, the Hell's Trainer out there in San Fran. So,
right.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what it looks like. But I think those are the question marks with Baron Browning. But he does have high-level potential when it comes to getting after the quarterback. He's an athletic guy. And then you look at Randy Gregory, he's just got to be available. Just has to be. If he's available, he'll help this team in a huge way. But he's got to be available. You know, whether it be suspension or injuries, he's just not available very much.
I'm going to ask you a sensitive question, but I know that we're not too sensitive on this show. Others are. I don't want to call out names, but others are. We're not. Was this defense as good as advertised, or was it the fact that the offense sucked so bad that opposing teams, you're going up against Denver, hey, guys, we're going to score about 20. It's all we need. So from a statistical standpoint, the Broncos defense, they hold their opponents to 19 points a game. Yeah, that's because the offense can't score. So I'm thinking of Vance Joseph, and I'm like, wait a second. If you're VJ, if this defense takes a step back, you know what's going to happen? Everyone's going to blame Vance Joseph.
He's going to be the fall guy. Yes. I don't think it's a great situation for Vance.
It's not a great situation
here.
For Vance at all. Because now the offense is going to be better. Let's say they score 24 points a game. Well, now your opponents are going to put the foot on the gas that they didn't have to last year. And thus, your numbers against your defense are going to be worse from a statistical standpoint. And a lot of people, whether it's right or wrong, are going to say that's Vance Joseph's fault.
Yes. That's why I didn't think it was a great situation for him to come into. This defense is played at a pretty good level here for the last few years. It's definitely been the strength of this football team. But you look at, you know, Vaughn's gone, Chubb's gone, you know, you're losing some pieces here. And is it going to be quite the same that we're used to? And if it's not, who is everyone going to look at? Vance Joseph, like, oh, you screwed it up.
Right.
Right?
Way to go, Vance.
But hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully that's not the case. They're going to need some luck here when it comes to health and durability. I really like the Alex Singleton re-signing. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's solid. You know what he can do. He's a tackling machine. You still worry about him in coverage, but I think you can kind of cover that up a little bit. They've been ignoring inside linebacker for years and years, so I never expect him to do, like, super splashy stuff. But Singleton's solid. He was solid when you got him last year. He'll be solid again this year. And if you're Vance Joseph, you're going to be very creative in the way that you use all your defenders, because I think you're going to have to manufacture pass rush. You're going to have to be very aggressive in sending extra rushers to create the pass rush that you're just not going to get with four.
So you're going to have to be creative out there.
Mm-hmm.
Is you know, you don't want to. You don't want to send extra rushers, because if you send extra rushers, well, that leaves your secondary, you know, out on an island more in one-on-one coverages.
Yeah.
You'd rather just get there with your front four. Hey, let's get some pressure. But if you can't do that, now you got to start doing some other things and being creative. So that's an interesting point there with this defense. And now there's a trickle-down effect from there. That's why pass rushers are at such a huge premium.
Right.
Because what they can do in bringing pressure without having to bring extra guys to bring pressure, now it takes a lot off of your secondary and your defense when it comes to defending the passing game, whether it be linebackers, whether it be safeties or cornerbacks.
Could we see it flipped this year? Could we see it where last year we do bam, bam, and the offense stinks? Good thing we got that Broncos defense. Could we actually see it flip this year? Not. I'm not blaming Vance Joseph. And I'm not saying the defense can't be the greatest ever or whatever fans want me to say. But could the offense be so good that now we go, man, if the defense was a little better.
I don't think so? I don't think we're going to be saying that. I don't.
They're going to run the ball. They're going to use time of possession. Opponents then are going to not have a lot of time.
Right.
And that means they're going to be more aggressive. And that means this defense will be challenged in ways I don't think people have recognized.
But yet. I think that new style that we're going to see, the philosophy that we're going to see is going to help this defense out. Shorten the game. Run the football. Ball control. Let's play great special teams. I mean, that's the blueprint, right? I mean, who wouldn't want to do those types of things? Who wouldn't want to control the game on the ground and eat up a lot of clock, for the most part, and play great special teams to help your defense out and to win close football games? It's easier said than done, though, right? Memo, hello, easier said than done. I mean, that's a great recipe. A lot of teams would like to have that recipe. So certainly it sounds good, you know, when you look at a paper, or you're talking about it on sports radio, but when you got to go out there on Sunday and do it, well, you got to go do it, right? You got to be able to control the line of scrimmage offensively. You got to be able to run the ball. You can't, you know, you can't be going 2 yards, 3 yards. Now you're stuck at third and five every time. You got to go, hey, 5 yards here, 7 yards here. And can they do that? Can they achieve that? And go out there and execute it to take some of this pressure off of the defense. Funny, like we've been, you know, like you saying, we've been looking at this defense, saying, "Hey, you got to carry this football team. You got to be the backbone of this football team." Well, it might be more flipped this year. It might be the offense that has to take some of that pressure off of the defense. But are they ready to do it in year one under Sean Payton? I think this is the best way to try to do it with this type of philosophy. You know, control the game on the ground, not through the air.
Have you ever thought about how in your career you were on teams where you almost experienced every different type of setup? You were on teams where the defense carried you. You were on teams where the offense carried you. You were on teams that were balanced. Like, is there a preference? Was it just like all for one, one for all? Is that the way it is in the NFL? Or do you like it when the offense can be a little bit fierce and dangerous and scary for an opponent, and then your defense, you know, maybe not as much, but now that I think about your career and all the teams, you kind of had everything.
Well, I mean, I played wide receiver, so, you know, I liked throwing the football, you know.
You liked being the dangerous one.
Yeah, I mean, that was our time in Indy, you know.
Right.
I mean, that was fun, you know. You can make a big impact every single week, and it was fun football. A lot more fun than playing with the Ravens, you know, and just like not doing much.
Right.
I mean, we did win a Super Bowl, but just that style of offense for a receiver. Now, if you're an offensive lineman, I don't know. You know, do you want to just maul people? Or do you want to, you know, be more of a finesse offensive lineman? I think quarterbacks, I think you'd rather throw the football around the yard, you know? So I think it just depends on your philosophy and what position you play.
Okay. Nice.
But for me, I mean, I want to throw it. You know, I want to throw it a lot. But ultimately, it's about having success as a football team. You know, nothing beats winning football games. That's what it's all about, is winning games. And different teams do it different ways.
Mm. So you wanted to be the one to say, I am the one who knocks.
That's right. What is that from?
Breaking Bad.
Okay.
You didn't watch Breaking Bad?
Yeah, I did. Loved it. Just don't remember every damn line in the movie. Just sorry. I do have friends like that. I do have friends like that.
You're not that guy?
Huh?
I thought every guy was that guy.
Show. Sorry, it's not a movie.
No,
I'm not that guy.
You're not the movie quote guy?
No, but like I got friends like Andy Rapp last night starts, you know, doing like lines and stuff. I'm like, bro, I'm not the movie quote guy. As it came up last night, I'm just not. Yeah. I don't remember any movie quote lines or series. Well, I just don't.
Right.
That's not what I do.
But
I
you enjoy these series. You watch these series. You've seen Breaking Bad.
Yes. Yes, great. Great series.
One of the classic lines, I am the one who knocks. And you don't.
Yeah, no.
Nothing. Nothing.
No.
Doesn't.
Nothing at all. I don't know episode. Don't know who said it. No.
Okay. Walter White said it. Do you remember him?
Yeah, dude.
Okay.
Walter.
All right.
Walter
the main
was
guy.
The teacher. Yeah. He was the chemistry, the science teacher, right?
All right, all right. I thought all of us guys were that way.
No, I wish I could be. Okay. I'm a little bit jealous of those guys.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because then they have conversations like you with other guys that know the quotes, and it's like they laugh, and I'm on the outside looking in like, damn, that would be cool to, like, remember the lines.
Exactly.
For some reason, I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm not smart enough. I don't pay enough attention. Like, I've got ADD all over the place. I don't know what it is, Cecil, but I'm just not that guy. But okay. I wish I was.
Okay.
It's not like I...
You're not against that.
No.
I know people that are against movie quote guy, and I'm like, why are you against movie quote guy?
Why would you?
There's nothing wrong with movie quote guy.
Give me a reason why you would be.
I don't know.
I think it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. I'm just not cool like that.
You're cool in other ways.
So I just kind of, you know, like... see myself out of the conversation when that stuff starts to happen, or just like you fake a laugh, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, Breaking Bad. Yeah. Oh, God.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Okay, we're doing movie quotes again. Now, I need to get out of this conversation.
Yeah, now we need to bail. I saw you did the 70s thing to Drew Spivak. You don't know what that is?
See? You're no, going down
no,
this
well, you made him change the channel.
Oh, I made him change the channel.
Yeah, because all these damn kids don't remember. They grew up with remote controls and the internet.
Yeah.
Like, no, you made Drew Spivak come in here and change the channel for
him. I didn't make him.
Are you that guy?
I asked him because...
You asked or did you tell?
I asked.
You asked.
Because the pro day...
Will Levis's pro day was
over.
Done.
So
he was all sweaty and rocked up.
You complained yesterday that I turned it off of
Bryce Young.
I just
suggested. I didn't necessarily complain.
You threw me under the bus like you had thrown Kevin Kistler and Drew under the bus already
in the first
hour and a half of the show.
Just wait. John Simmer's next.
Simmer.
Yeah.
You have to simmer on a Friday. But I wanted you to be able to watch the pro day, and the pro day was over. So now we got golf on. Match play.
Okay.
Last round before the bracket. This is like the last round robin day of the Dell Technology match play.
Okay.
Why
do you find golf on TV exciting? Golf is fun to play. I'm not any good at it. You've seen me play. It's awful.
Yeah.
You're really good at it.
I'm okay.
So why do you like watching it on TV?
It's because I love golf. You know, it's like,
boring as hell to watch, though.
It's
fun to play.
I know, but if you love golf like a lot of people do, like I do, then it is fun to watch these guys.
Are
go
you
out
picking
there.
Up tips, or are you just
no.
saying, like, oh, that's a terrible shot, or like, oh, I've done that before? Like,
no, not picking up tips, because these guys are. It's like watching an NFL player when you're playing, and you know, I don't know, whatever.
It's six man football.
I just can't do it. You know, I just can't swing the club like them, and so that's what makes it so great is the shots that they can hit, how good they really are. Like, how it's really blows my mind of how good these guys are. And so when the best guys are out there competing against each other, I love it. I know it's different. It's like slow and different for a lot
Hello,
of people.
Friends.
But Jim Nance,
that's your guy.
That's my guy. But I love it. Yeah. No,
okay.
It's great.
All right. Baseball on TV or golf on TV?
Oh, gosh. Golf.
Golf easy?
Oh, not even.
Because I feel like baseball the same way I feel about golf. Like, baseball is fun to play. It's fun to go to a game. Baseball on TV is not real fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to be interesting this year. No shift. And pitch clock for the pitchers. You know,
okay. Right.
They're not even like, and you. If you're a batter, like, you can only call time, like, once a year. That's it.
Yeah.
Once a year.
Yeah.
If you try, you know, they got a thing. If you try two times, they kick you out of the league.
Isn't like, that just going to lead to sloppy baseball?
Maybe. We'll see. But that's what's going to make it interesting to see this year with these changes. And obviously, just kidding about calling time. But, like, you can't step out of the batter's box.
Right,
like,
right.
All these things are just so different to speed up the pace of play, which I think is awesome. I really
Is it going to work, though? Are they going to capture the young? Every time I run into one of these young guys that works here, and they're like, "I'm a big baseball fan," I'm like, "Why? Like, you're like 20. What's the matter?" Like,
yeah,
it's usually a family thing. Oh, me and my dad watch, or me and my grandpa, or my grandma, whatever. Like, but every time I run into a young baseball fan, I'm always shocked. I'm like, "Oh, wow, you do exist."
Well,
the average baseball fan is 65 years old.
Yeah, but there is. I mean, baseball is still a very popular sport with youth
to play.
Yes. So, but if you play the sport, usually you watch the sport, right? You know, if you're playing as a 7, 8, 13, 14, 17-year-old, guess what? You're watching it. Like, my son played baseball and is still playing baseball. So, like, we would watch a lot of the Rockies games. And that was like the only reason I would really watch the Rockies games, like on a Wednesday night.
Right.
Last year. I'm watching the Rockies with him because he loves it and he knows the guys. And so you go to a lot of the games if you, you know, if you play baseball and, you know, you're 12, you want to go watch the Rockies play.
Right.
So I do. I think it's a very boring sport to watch. But you know what? It's also, you know, like you said, if it's father, son or whatever the case may be, father, daughter or whatever the case may be. But it is a slower sport. Now they're trying to pick it up, trying to do some things maybe to get the offense up with eliminating the shift.
Right, right.
So it's going to be interesting to see how the rules impact the game and if it's a better watch for the viewer.
If it's a better product and if it captures the younger audience. Well,
and
speaking
I just think that might be overblown a little bit also. You know,
what's that?
Like the average age for the baseball fan, yeah, is like 99.
65.
99, right? Got it. Like,
okay, yeah.
About to die any second now. But there still is a lot of youth that just loves the game. There is. There's a lot of youth that love the game.
Okay. Well, speaking of young baseball fans, our very own Jake Shapiro from DenverSports.com will talk about Deion Sanders, and yeah, I'll pick his brain about why he loves baseball. We'll do that next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Bravo. Thank you for that on a Friday.
Learn how to dial a phone, chicken fingers. I'm so mad.
That just keeps us going the whole show.
Yeah. Just on repeat.
Just repeat it.
Photograph every break.
Actually, you can play every song and sound the same. So you'd be like, is this a different song? I don't know. I can't tell.
Too late. Should I go back and graduate?
Okay. For the love of
God. Guarantee you, Jake loves this song.
No way. Jake Shapiro, you have good taste. You know Nickelback sucks. Am I right or am I right?
Come on, Jake.
I am not a fan of butt rock. I skipped that whole era, man. Nickelback, not for me.
Who?
And we'll move right along from that. Jake, we just got done talking about young baseball fans. You're like baseball crazy, right? We got to talk about Mile High Baseball show, DenverSports.com, all that sorts of good stuff. And I know we're going to talk about Deion, and I love Deion. I got my CU hat on me today. But, Jake, I'm always fascinated by these rule changes that they've done in baseball to speed up the game. I'm fascinated by, you know, trying to capture young fans. Anytime I run into young fans like you that really love baseball, I'm like, wow, why? Because the baseball fan, generally, average fan of a baseball is 65, I believe. So, like, what is it about the sports? What is it about these rule changes? Will they capture more of the guys like you, the young baseball fan? Is that going to happen, do you think?
Yeah, Steve, you mentioned my love of music, too. It's like, if I went to like an Elton John concert, I'd look around and every single person around me would have an AARP subscription, right? Like, that's how I feel when I go to Rockies games sometimes at this point.
Okay.
It's like going to a concert and you're just so out of place. It's just the wrong demo. And I'm just like, why am I into this?
Right.
But yeah, man, they're doing a lot of things to try and change baseball. And I always come back to T20 cricket. And if you don't know what T20 cricket is, normal test cricket matches are 5 days long. In about the 80s, they started making one-day cricket matches the thing to do. But no one's got all day to sit around with the TV. So in India and in England, in about the early 2000s, they came up with T20 cricket, which is a three-hour form of the game of cricket. It's a lot shorter. Rules are completely different. Guys go all out, and it's made for TV. Baseball is trying to figure out how to get their own T20 cricket, essentially. And what's interesting is the World Baseball Classic, without many rule changes that are currently underway in Major League Baseball, was fascinating. It was an awesome tournament. So many great players, such a great atmosphere, stuff like that. Major League Baseball, however, is not going to be that when you turn on your TV next week. It's just going to be the bad product that we've seen for the last 5 to 10 years just sped up. So the question is being bad faster good? I guess it's better, but it's still not where it probably should be. And just as a final point here, Major League Baseball is the worst form of baseball I have watched over the last 5 years. You watch Korean baseball, you watch Caribbean baseball, you watch baseball at the high school level in Colorado. It's just a better product. The game is played with a more interesting style almost everywhere else but in the MLB.
Jake Shapiro, DenverSports.com, joining us. Jake, talk to me about Deion. I mean, the guy just seems, every time you see him on online, social media, he just, like, is so impressive. Just the impact he's having on CU right now.
Yeah, and I'm headed up to Boulder here in a second. Deion has reinvigorated campus. Ticket or merchandise sales in December of 2022 were up 505% from merchandise sales from December of 2021. And I know Cecil Lammy helped contribute to those merchandise sales with his Prime 21 shirt.
Yes.
But they're expected to sell out the spring game, Stoke. They're charging $10 for the spring game, and they're going to sell it out. My girlfriend's sister looks at me and goes, hey, what's the spring game about? Should I buy a ticket? I'm like, the spring game doesn't matter. It's boring. Why are people interested in this? That's where Deion's got this program right now that just layman's people around Denver and Boulder are like, I might want to go check out this thing.
Yeah, Deion Sanders reinvigorating Boulder. And I've mentioned this before, but I want to hear your opinion on it, Jake. You can never underestimate the power of cool. Like, especially with NIL and transfer portal and college football. But in the world of college football, to be cool the way that we used to look at Oregon, right? Because all the jerseys or whatever. It's like, Deion has made Colorado cool. And that's something that I don't think we can ignore at all. I think, honestly, it's pretty important in today's world of college football.
Yeah, it is more and more important because the NIL, because the transfer portal. And it really begs the question why no other program thought to do this with Deion, and it ended up being CU desperate enough to take a chance on Deion, because it's forward thinking, right? Like, just get the name. He's one of the three most famous college football coaches already. It's him, Saban, and Smart. Like, he's the guy in all the commercials. That stuff carries weight. Mm-hmm. He's on ESPN all the time. They just wrote this whole big story about him yesterday. And what I'll tell you from that story that was really interesting, talking about this coolness factor, is everyone just respects Deion. And Deion was the guy, because he's cool, was presenting the NFL Coach of the Year award this year. And he gave it to Brian Daboll. As soon as Brian Daboll got off the stage there, he goes to Deion, hey, I think I've got this kid who'd be interested in playing for you. That's how much respect Deion has. That NFL coaches are like, hey, I know somebody who's, you know, someone's son or whatever, who should play for you. Like, it's the Colorado Buffaloes, guys. This hasn't been our thing since Ice Cube was rocking a CU hat 30 years ago. Like, Little Wayne's visiting campus. This isn't us.
Right. No, it's awesome. It feels great. I was here for the 90s because, Jake, I'm stuck in the 90s, which I'm fine with. And there's a huge college football audience here. There is. And when CU was that good, and Big Al and Pritch and all the Chad Brown, those guys were winning it all, like, it was big time. And, well, I don't know if they'll win it all, Jake, but I'm excited that CU once again is big time here locally. Before we let you out of here, Jake Shapiro, DenverSports.com. Tell us about Mile High Baseball Podcast. And for the love of God, I hope I got that name right.
Yeah, Mile High Baseball Podcast with Jake Shapiro. You're exactly right. Airs live every Friday at 1 p.m. So maybe turn it on while you're listening to the guys do the radio. Do a little double dipping. I've got ADHD. That's how I consume things in the media. So that'll work for you guys. But yeah, 1 o'clock every Friday. If you can't listen to it live because you love the Stoke and Zach show, which I love, so you know, maybe check it out on the download, catch it wherever you can catch your podcast. And I do want to give a shout out. I hate to take over your airtime, but we're talking CU. CU women play tonight in the Sweet 16, first time since 2003 that either the men's or women's program. It was the women's program back in 2003 that was in the Sweet 16. So it's going to be a really cool sporting event. To see, hopefully, to see women keep going along in March.
That's right.
Let's keep marching on, Jake. We appreciate you, man. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Jake.
Yep, have a good weekend, boys.
There he goes, Jake Shapiro, DenverSports.com. Do not miss the road to WrestleMania Super Show in Denver. You got Seth freaking Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Becky Lynch, Raw Women's Champion Bianca Belair, and many more. Sunday, March 26, 2023, 7 p.m. at Ball Arena. That's Sunday, March 26, 2023, 7 p.m. Ball Arena. Caller number 7 right now, 303-713-1043. That's 303-713-1043. Don't miss the Road to WrestleMania Super Show in Denver. That's caller number 7, 303-713-1043. Well, there is a former GM who thinks that there's a perfect fit superstar for the Denver Broncos. We'll tell you who that is next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
We did have some breaking Broncos news come through just a little bit ago. And it's something that was suggested, even I had talked about it, like, yeah, maybe the Broncos could get Marquez Callaway. And according to Jeremy Fowler from ESPN, Marquez Callaway plans to sign with the Broncos. Callaway reunites with Sean Payton in 2021. Callaway had a career-high 46 catches, 698 yards, and 6 touchdowns in Payton's offense. That is wide receiver Marquez Callaway. And if we know one thing about Marquez Callaway, it's speed. So there's a speed wide receiver
speed
for the Denver Broncos and another Saints connection.
Right, and this is kind of, you know, what we've talked about a lot on this show.
Mm-hmm.
When a coach comes in, a new coach, he's going to want to bring some of his guys here, right? That's just what they're going to do.
Right.
Guys that know their system, guys that know what they're all about, guys that they, and the guys that the coach brings in, you know, he trusts them. You know, they're probably good locker room guys. Don't know if they're the best players or whatever the case may be, but good, solid football players that will have a role and an important role, especially during the offseason. And that's what you're seeing here with a couple of these former Saints being signed. And Marquez Callaway, you know, I don't have his stats in front of me, but he's been a solid wide receiver. He's probably a special teams guy also.
Yep.
And he can add depth to this wide receiver room if you are still going to look to trade a Jerry Jeudy.
Right.
You just lost KJ Hamler for 4 to 6 months. So you needed more depth there. And so I think another good under-the-radar, low-risk, high-reward signing here from Sean Payton and George Payton.
Knows your system, knows what's to expect, has started 17 games in his pro career, 11 of those during that season, the last season with Sean Payton. In New Orleans, last year appearing in 14 games, 3 starts, 16 catches, 158 yards, and a touchdown. But Callaway, size, speed, knows the system, and again, depth. You're not desperate. Again, another solid play. I know some people might say, oh, another Saint. Here we go. Yeah. Yeah, this is what you do. If you're Sean Payton, you're going to get guys that you know and guys you can trust.
That's right. And, you know, look, I was in Baltimore. Brian Billick's first year there. And
yeah,
There was a bunch of Vikings that came over.
Yeah.
You know, you had a few of those guys that were part of his offense that knew his scheme and knew him. He knew them. And so that's just the way that it goes. You want your guys. You want guys that are going to set the tone for how you want to build this football team moving forward. And that's what these signings do. I mean, it's not like these big splashy signings and going to get everyone's attention. But I think both the Tony Jones, the running back from the Saints,
right,
and Marquez Callaway signing the last two. He's going to sign today. Yesterday, was it yesterday, Tony Jones or
Tony
today?
Jones yesterday, yeah.
Yesterday. So those two signings, that's what they're going to accomplish there. Provide you some good depth, guys that know off the offense, and guys that can help the guys around them this offseason, right? Everyone's learning a new language. And so if you have guys on your football team that can help those other guys, that's a big positive. And that's what they'll add here, a little extra, little line yop there from Tony Jones and Marquez Callaway.
I like when you throw in the line.
I know, and I just did it. I did it just for you, Cecil.
Thank you. I appreciate that on a Friday. Now, former NFL general manager Randy Mueller thinks Austin Eckler would be a great fit for the Broncos. I love fantasy.
Yeah.
But this seems like a fantasy land type of
opinion. I agree. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's not fantasy football.
I know.
It's just like, first of all, do you really think the Chargers are going to trade him to the Broncos?
No.
I don't either. And second of all, what are you going to have to give up for Austin Ekeler? It's not going to be a third rounder.
No.
You got to give up a premium pick. We don't have a premium pick this year. So,
and third, he wants a new deal.
Third, you're going to have to pay him. And I don't think that the Broncos have the resources right now to pay Austin Ekeler. I mean, they got other things that they need to do. So it just doesn't make sense.
Right.
You look at the situation. I did. I saw the Broncos were mentioned as one of his landing spots. It's like, wait, no. What, like, it makes no sense to me.
The Colorado thing, because he's from Eaton? Like, right. Is that it?
That's just dumb if that's it. I mean, right? I mean, it makes no sense.
Right.
Yeah, just because he's from here, let's have him go into the Broncos, even though nothing signals that he could be a Denver Bronco. Nothing at all. Nothing.
Right. Yeah. It's
really good football player, but you don't have the salary cap space, right? You don't have the draft picks, and you're in the same division.
Right.
Goodness.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. It's nice to think about if you're building a Madden Ultimate Team or something, like, not in reality. And again, they're going to run the football with power. Austin Ekeler would fit anywhere, but now, I mean, you would have Ekeler, P. Ryan, Javonte. Like, there's one football. Like
what are we doing, Cecil?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
that's
yes.
Like if you're trying to build that all Madden team, you know, yeah, on that PlayStation.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's when Austin Ekeler fits.
Yeah, it's a perfect fit.
It doesn't fit now. It has nothing to do with him. He's fantastic.
He's great. It's just not going to happen here. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Is he falling into the same trap Melvin Gordon did years ago?
Whoa.
Where it's like, I want to get paid, and I don't think he's going to hold out, but like now the news reports are Austin Eckler's like, I'm not mad. I just want to be paid. Because he is underpaid. He's grossly underpaid. But, like, you're a running back, man. Like, they right. don't.
You got to be careful. There's a fine line there at the running back position. He's very valuable to that team, though.
Yes.
It's an interesting situation there. You know, what happens if they can't get any kind of deal done? You know, any kind of trade?
I mean, now, does he hold out?
Exactly. Now, you're going to go down that road where you're taking the stance of holding out.
Right.
I think he's supposed to make around $6 million this year, $6.5 million, something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a tricky situation. Obviously, at the running back position, the end comes quickly, really quickly.
Yep.
And he's had a lot of wear and tear over the last few years.
Right.
Still very productive, but you project and you look forward. I just think it's going to be hard for him to get a huge deal. I think it ends up working out with the Chargers. And
they give him a little bump,
like a little Derrick Henry bump. You know, we've seen that with Derrick Henry. He's like, all right, you've been so good to us.
Right.
Hey, you know, we're going to do a little extension here, give you a little bit more money, keep you happy. That's what the Chargers should do for Austin Ekeler, and I think that's what they will do for him. Maybe a 2-year extension, give him a little bit more cash up front because he's such a vital part of that football team. And they would lose a lot if they lost him.
Yeah. And honestly, when you think about trades, one, it's interconference because I thought Buffalo. You know, Buffalo, that'd be awesome.
Sure.
But, that's not going to work. It's interconference. You know, you think Kansas City, they're not going to do anything. That's interdivision.
Right. Yeah. I don't know about interconference. You know,
you don't think so? The Chargers have designs of making a Super Bowl run. They give it to Buffalo.
Right. You're
right in their way.
You're right about that. But at the same time, you know, it's like when you look at quarterbacks, yeah, you'd rather send a quarterback to a different division. But when you're looking at a running back, if it's just run its course, would you prefer to send him to the NFC? Yeah, but I think, you know, also AFC, if you're going to trade him and that's your best offer, then you just do the deal.
Okay.
Then you just do the deal. But you're right. I mean, I think there is some truth to that when you're looking at teams in your division and you're like, okay, well, we do have – Our goals are to be in the Super Bowl, and
right.
we'll have to play that team to get to the Super Bowl. Do we want to make them better? Certainly that comes into play.
Okay. Austin Ekeler, Eaton, Colorado's very own.
Eaton.
That's, that's how we're going to know him. He's not going to come to the Broncos.
No.
So, it's not. Nick Saban said it when he was coach for like 6 months in the NFL. This ain't fantasy football. So, there you go. I'll tell you what is a fantasy dream come true. Coming up Thursday, we're holding a very special fan VIP event where you can mingle with us, the fan hosts, and catch an exclusive early screening of Air. The movie doesn't open in theaters until April 5th, but you can see it early and have a great time hanging out with your favorite fan host, Stink, Evans, Nate, Zach, D-Mac, and Derek, to name a few who will be there. We're giving away 4 VIP seats to the event. To call our number 4 right now, 303-713-1043. That's 303-713-1043. It's our VIP event for Air coming up next Thursday. Call our number 4 right now, 303-713-1043. It's Stokely and Zach. It is Cecil Lammy sitting in for Zach Bye. And during next week's league's meetings, NFL owners will be asked to, well, approve a flex plan that's going to change some things in the NFL. We'll explain next.